welcome to the Yes to Life show on UK Health Radio. I'm Robin Daly, host of the show today and for more than 10 years, as well as founder of Yes to Life, the UK charity that's been championing integrative medicine as a better, more comprehensive way of meeting the multiple needs of people diagnosed with cancer for over 20 years. A significant part of what sets integrative oncology apart from conventional oncology is that it places considerable, indeed increasing, emphasis on the psychological, spiritual, and emotional aspects of healing, whereas conventional medicine focuses almost exclusively on the physical disease. My guest today is Raj Jana, who has developed the Liberate program, particularly for those facing a health crisis such as cancer.
Thanks so much for coming on the Yes to Life show.
Great to be here, Robin.
So you're the creator of the Liberate, and that's LIBER number 8 program, that's coming at healthcare from the psychological and emotional end of things. It's become increasingly recognized that very many health issues have got a psychological and emotional component to a greater or lesser degree, and that therefore one could approach recovery from either end of the picture, from the physical or from the psychological and emotional. But clearly the best strategy is to do both at the same time if you want a good result. So that said, it's generally more or less straightforward to go for the physical than the less tangible stuff. It's maybe a bit more scary, repressed stuff there that people quite often want to walk around. This is an area that your program aimed squarely at. What was the driving impetus for you to create it?
Well, the way we began with cancer, I can tell you that story. I had a close friend who had stage 4 colon cancer. I met him in the last 8 months of his life. So he had been, you know, diagnosed years before. He had a top 50 health podcast. In the gut health space, him and his wife were researching just about every type of therapy known to man to look at his colon health, his gut health. And in the last 8 months of his life, he started leaning into psychological therapies of various kinds. And through that process, came to the realization himself that, the trauma that he had experienced in his life, the repressed shame that he never looked at, the resentment that he was carrying towards people who had hurt him, all of those factors that he wasn't looking at were actually the reason why none of the therapies were working.
How interesting.
And it was an intuitive hit for him.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, I saw him devote almost all of his healing towards, I mean, he was still doing the physical and he was, you know, keeping himself, he was still focusing on all that, but really where he spent a lot of his time was having the hard conversations, you know, working with facilitators and practitioners to help him go into his emotions and release them, you know, leave behind, you know, say things to his wife that he had never said to her before. The tumor had spread to his brain. He passed away. And you know, I'm the godparent for his, you know, children. And I just, his passing impacted me in a deep way. One, because I was confused why none of his doctors were telling him about his trauma on day one. Like I was actually a little flabbergasted, to be honest, because, you know, you're doing all this testing, you're doing blood testing, you're doing hormone testing, you're spending lots of money on all this functional testing, but there's no deeper inquiry into the life history of a human being and all of the ways that the accumulated stress, the emotional debt that this man has been carrying, like there was no look at that, there was no acknowledgement of it. And I don't blame the medical industry. I think we're designed, even like doctors just don't have time to sit down and have the psychological conversations. I don't think we're trained to feel comfortable talking about some of these conversations, like when it has to do with your marriage or when it has to do with your childhood. Like I just don't think that there's a shared training, if you would, of emotional literacy for everyone in the care cycle, including the family members. So it just gets pushed down. But to what cost? And so then, you know, this was back in 2021, and I was just trying to understand why this wasn't happening. And then I stumbled onto Dr. Gabor Mate's work, and then I started stumbling onto Dr. Joe Dispenza's work, and then Dr. Nasha. And I, you know, my short on my background, I'm a serial entrepreneur. I've had my first company when I was, you know, 24, did well with that. And then I started getting into more podcasting and sharing perspectives around emotional well-being and emotional health. And then that's then how I ended up here. And when I met Dr. Nasha, I was really interested in building first a diagnostic to help people understand if their present day symptoms were correlated to unprocessed emotions and beliefs and traumas that they accumulated in their life. And when we started working with Dr. Nasha, it was just a pilot. Didn't know where it was going to go.
Right.
But as we started mapping the emotional patterns of her patients, we've now mapped thousands of patterns, hundreds of thousands of patterns. It became very obvious that this is actually the biggest elephant in the room that medicine somehow missed. And because we don't explain this in a way that's not scary to people, everyone's looking away from it when, in fact, if we actually learn to look at these parts of ourselves with compassion, with love, and create the safety to do that, I think we could save a lot of families, a lot of heartache, and a lot of money going down the wrong treatment. So anyways, that's what got me started.
What a fascinating story.
Yeah, it's been a journey to get here.
Yeah, but it's amazing. Well, look, you straight away you mentioned something I got a note of that I wanted to talk to you about, so I'm going to talk to you about it now. This situation you described there, where someone's been controlling their cancer for a long period using all sorts of integrative oncology stuff, but then they start to lose the control a little bit and they struggle to regain it again. And they try this and the other and nothing seems to be working. And it seems like the alarm bells are all going at that point. But then they start addressing the emotional issues seriously. And that's when things change. I mean, this is something I've now coming across quite a lot. So you're obviously familiar with it. So do you think that's a common situation amongst people in the integrative oncology space?
Yeah, I think, Nasha actually says this the best. You know, if she had to write the metabolic approach to cancer again, she would flip category number one, which was genetics, and put it at the end and put emotions at the front.
Interesting.
But she said, you know, when she wrote the book, if she would have actually done that, not a single person would have picked up the book. You know?
Yeah, it's true. You have to lead people to this around a bit of a circle.
Right. So this is the thing. And so, you know, I think now with what you just shared, there's enough people who are hurting to the point where they've spent all this time, energy trying to heal. You know, they've gone through the cycle a few times. We have people who find us who have gone through their second, third bouts with cancer. And now they're finally like, okay, what could it possibly be?
Right.
Right. And then they arrive at the emotional piece. But I think those individuals have deep purpose for the community because, you know, as they start to tell their stories, more people are starting to realize, oh, wait, I don't want to be that. I don't want to be the person who waited till their third diagnosis to address the root cause of my cancer. What if I had the courage to look earlier? What might that change? And what we're seeing, Robin, in all of our communities is that when, in fact, you address the nervous system, when you address the traumas, when you actually create safety in the body from the get-go, all of the treatments work better. It's almost like the body is like, if it's in a constant state of fight or flight panic, it doesn't matter what you introduce into it. It's like if you try to plant a seed inside of soil that doesn't have any nutrients in it, it doesn't matter how much sunlight, how much water you give it. If the soil's not rich, you're not gonna get what you want. And so we've now started teaching that, you know, creating internal safety is actually a prerequisite to healing success. And we have enough data points now to be able to say that definitively. There's enough research studies out there now that can speak this definitively. There's so many branches of science, from polyvagal theory to the cell danger response to God knows how many different theories that are coming out to truly validate that when an individual feels safe, they have a higher likelihood of being able to, if we even get out of the realm of healing, their experience of the disease will be less intense. Like just having, it's like pushing a boulder uphill. This is the best way I like to explain it to our community members. Like if you're trying to push a boulder uphill, you might as well take the backpack off that weighs 300 yeah, right. pounds. Instead of making it so hard on yourself, like why don't we take the backpack off and then you have all of your strength and might to actually go and push this boulder uphill as opposed to fighting yourself.
Right. Does that make sense? It completely makes sense. Yeah, the fighting yourself kind of sums it up. I mean, it's well known now that the emotional and psychological state has biochemical consequences. And imagine just, you know, all of ourselves getting this message, I'm not safe, I'm not safe, I'm not safe, all day, every day, and expect them to function as well as possible to get you out of a jam. It's asking a lot. So, and it makes complete sense to me. And I'm very pleased that the spotlight is moving in this direction at this point. It's kind of where things need to go. We've got 50% of people in developed countries going to be developing cancer. It's a massive situation, and we need to find our way out of it. And one of the ways will be through people gaining what they can gain from the experience of cancer, which is a lot, as you know, I'm sure. It's a horrible experience, but they can come out of it a lot wiser than they went in. And that wisdom and experience needs to be shared around the planet. And then we might not have 50% of the people
totally.
Getting cancer. So, I'm going to jump in with an ad for what our conferences are called next year.
Yeah.
We had two conferences every year, one online, one in person. And to capture this kind of the spirit of this drive, our conferences are called Reclaiming Our True Nature, What Science is Telling Us About the Impact of Psychological, Emotional, and Spiritual Factors on Survivorship. So they're going to be great events, and that's for next year. So look, just to come back here, as you say, all this data is arriving now, showing us that the most important determinants of health, they're not necessarily where we thought they were. And they're definitely not where healthcare thinks they are. Things like social connection, relationship to nature, all these kind of things are suddenly leaping out with massive statistics associated with longevity and wellness. And it's starting to look as though if you're someone diagnosed with cancer, you're kind of taking a big risk doing all these things. How's it look to you?
So there's two ways to look at this conversation, right? We can look at it through the lens of if you don't look at your emotions, there's great risk, which to me, there's a fear-based languaging in that.
Fair enough.
Which I think is exactly what all of the medical industry has done, you know, like for, especially for cancer patients who are inside of such a vulnerable state, you know, like that concept. So like to me, what I might even reframe for anybody listening is, if you even just take away the risk or the idea of needing to do the right thing, and you just come back to how can you allow for this experience to be something that you look back on in your life with fond memories? Or how can we transform the experience of cancer for you? Right? Like, because to me, we have a lot of people that are coming into our programs and they come in with that, like, oh my God, if I don't do this, something's going to happen. But when you can shift it to where, if you take away if I don't do this, something is going to happen mindset is actually the thing that's keeping you in a stressed out state.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. If you see the letters AIDA, do you immediately think of the opera by Verdi? AIDA is also an advertising acronym for those iconic Mad Men days. A is for attention, I is for interest, D is for desire, A is for action. This process is a timeless truism for making a sale. Fortunately, if your product or service is health-related, we can offer you guaranteed access to a global audience with a high interest in health, healthy lifestyle, and contemporary well-being. UKHealthRadio.com has a regular monthly audience of around 1.5 million health-conscious people. And Health Triangle, its award-winning monthly magazine, has around 20,000 paying subscribers. Find out more about both at UKHealthRadio.com. Let's all put health first.
Hey, are you tired of the irritation you get down there from pads and other bladder weakness products? Tena-sensitive care pads are the first ever bladder weakness pads enriched with a skin comfort formula. The skin-friendly layer in combination with the soft, 100% breathable materials helps protect intimate skin from irritation. And as always, you have triple protection from leaks, odor, and moisture. Gynecologist tested and dermatologically approved by the Skin Health Alliance. Look for Tena-sensitive care pads with the skin comfort formula online and in stores now.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
If we shifted to, okay, instead of looking at it from a lens of fear, what if we looked at it through the lens of love? They're like, what's the kindest thing I can do for myself at this point in the journey? One is to get rid of fear. Is to create a nervous system that isn't like, because I need to be able to sleep, right? Like I need to be able to follow through on my diet plans. And if I feel too overwhelmed, if I feel too afraid, if I feel too stuck, then I'm not going to be able to do any of that. So the first thing to address is that overwhelm, the part of you that's running on overdrive. First thing to address is the fear and let's talk about fear for a second. Like, what are we afraid of? You know, I don't actually feel like we're like, I believe that the root of all fear is actually the fear of feeling our feelings.
Mm. Okay.
But if we just see that, right? So like, what am I afraid of feeling? I'm afraid of feeling like I'm not doing enough. I'm afraid of feeling like I'm letting somebody down. I'm afraid of feeling the fear of actually dying. I'm afraid of feeling the disappointment when my body, I'm afraid of feeling shame. I'm afraid of slowing down. And if we just normalize these topics, like, okay, it's normal to be afraid of all these feelings. It doesn't make you a bad person. It doesn't make you bad at healing. It doesn't make you somebody who's not going to get the results. But the more we can normalize that, I feel, then the natural propensity will be to integrate the emotional work with whatever you're doing. This isn't a, oh, I must prioritize the emotional work over everything else.
No.
This is a, how can we just make your experience of cancer more kind?
Right.
How can we create a more loving experience for you? Maybe an experience you've never had. Maybe you've never thought about life through this lens of love. But what if this moment in your life where now, you know, you've been given a wake-up call, for some reason in your life, you got this cancer for whatever reason, and your reasons might be different than the next person's. But if we can just choose to see this experience differently, as opposed to needing to say, hey, if I don't do this, I'm going to die. Now, I think we're going to start shifting the culture, because so many people in our communities, they did that. If I don't do this, I'm going to die. So they did the first thing, and then they got past that first treatment, and then they went into remission, and then it came back. And if I don't do this, I'm gonna, okay, then it was it again. And eventually they got to a place of, okay, what if this wasn't something to run from? What if this was something to hold? What if this was a part of me to look at? What if my body wasn't betraying me? What if this was a chance for me to understand why my body was doing what it was doing? And the second they shifted that is when they actually got the results that they desired. but it required them letting go of the language of fear and coming into more of a lens of compassion for themselves that then really opened up possibility.
Right. Very nicely described. Thank you. Okay, so you created a program to support people in making that change. How does it go about it?
Yeah, so anybody who's interested in signing up for one of our programs, they would, you know, register on our website. And then from there, you attend the kickoff call. From the kickoff call, you're put into a group with other people who are navigating different life challenges, different life circumstances. Many of them are cancer patients. Some of them have autoimmune. They have a wide range of health issues that come into our programs. And then over the course of 3 months, we take you through a journey of, one, becoming aware of the emotional triggers, the emotional patterns, your life history. And we slowly create the safety to begin opening up what's there. We pair you up with one-on-one practitioners. We have group containers. We create little pods with other patients so that you're never alone. We have self-guided courses and curriculums. We have an app that you can use at any time of the day. We have full-time community caretakers and managers who are there that can hold your hand whenever you get scared, whenever you feel alone, whenever you feel like you're not enough, whenever you feel overwhelmed. And slowly over the course of 12 weeks, we are releasing the parts of you. Is there parts? The aspects of the fears that you may have learned. And what we're really looking at, if I had to sum it up, are these. So have you read a book called The Body Keeps the Score? Or do you know of the book?
I know of it. I haven't read it, no.
Okay, so for anybody listening, The Body Keeps the Score is a book by Bessel van der Kolk. And the entire premise of the book is any experience that, any emotional experience that you didn't have the capacity or the safety to fully process in the moment gets stored in your body. So we like to call these traumas, but they're not always traumas. Sometimes they're, you know, my mom left me all by myself at the grocery store while she was over there getting vegetables.
Right.
And I didn't know what was going on. I was only 3 years old. And for those 15 minutes, I was terrified. That terror still lives in your body. And what we're doing inside of the program is we're looking for all of those little moments. We have a process called emotional mapping, where we're beginning to map your unprocessed emotions and these little memories, and slowly but surely creating a safe space for you to release the emotion that's associated with these memories. And so over the course of, you know, 12 weeks, you're getting one-on-one sessions, group experiences, you're getting, you know, spaces to just share what's on your heart with other people who just listen, don't need anything from you. And then we teach you how to prevent life adversities from becoming traumas, you know, how to prevent the loss of a loved one from creating the type of stress on your body that can bring cancer back, how to learn to communicate with your emotions so that you understand what they're trying to tell you and glean the messages and the insights that are available inside of your feelings as opposed to pushing them down. We teach you how to see yourself through the lens of compassion, how to forgive yourself for making mistakes, how to forgive other people for hurting you, and how to clear your body from the poison of shame, from the poison of petrified grief that never got felt, from the poison of repressed anger, so that you can be free. And then you leave after the program, you get lifetime access to our community. Where we have self-guided courses, weekly calls. We bring on experts of all sorts to teach in there. And you continue just the work because it's never done. You know, you're never complete. There's that misnomer of, oh my God, once I heal, I'll never have to do any more healing work. No, it just shifts from healing to prevention. And so the journey then becomes, how can I instill habits that can prevent cancer from coming back by feeling my emotions, by having the conversation before it builds up, by not allowing this thing that happened to define me, so on and so forth. So that's a big overall hierarchy of what the program is.
Amazing. So it's putting me in mind of the fact that, you know, somebody comes along to your program age 60, they've got 60 years of accumulating that stuff. It's a lot, isn't it? It's an awful lot. And your program's 12 weeks, I think you said. And given the context you described, which is sharing this journey with a lot of other people who are facing the same kind of things, I can imagine you get some quite transformative things happening to people, even though it's a short period. But, you know, in terms of people coming to terms, if you like, with the last 60 years worth of sitting on things, what's your feeling about what you're able to achieve?
Oh, man, I love this question, because most of the people who find us are between the ages of 50 and 80.
Right, okay.
And I like to think of our program as decades worth of therapy in 12 weeks. And the reason why we're able to accomplish so much is because of our precision emotional mapping system. So our mapping system is very much now, having tested thousands of case studies, we're able to not just spin around inside of talk, which is what most therapy is. Like, we're just going to talk about the problems, talk about your past. No, we're going to ask you very specific questions to uncover very specific things that, when addressed, shift the dominoes across multiple areas of your life. So that's really how we're able to accomplish so much. But what's possible? I mean, like, which category of life should we talk about? I mean, like, you know, from the health side, like, we've seen patients. We have one client who's a triple leukemia survivor who came to our programs. Her oncologist told her that she would never have blood cell counts in a normal range ever again. And within 3 weeks of finishing our program, she went back to her oncologist, got her labs done again. And to her oncologist's shock, her blood counts were not only back in a normal range, but they were better than they were pre-cancer. That's one of many health stories, from, you know, remissions to tumor markers improving to HRV scores going from the low 20s and 30s to 80s and 90s consistently, to the deep peace and freedom that's experienced internally. I mean, the forgiving of people who have, they've held on to resentment with for 30, 40 years, being able to restore marriages, being able to sleep for the first time in years, have a depth of peace in their body, knowing that it's okay, it's all going to be fine. People making lifelong friends.
Totally do.
You know, yeah. We had one client in her 70s, she lost her husband in the middle of the program, unexpectedly. And because of what she had learned inside of the program and because of the support she had around her, she was able to not only process that grief, but again, keep her labs in a place where they didn't tip back into cancer, which is something we've seen a lot. A lot of our clients, they come to us, you know, one of the client actually who had the triple leukemia, each time she got her diagnosis followed either a death in the family, COVID, or some type of big stressful event, a loss of a job. And so these big events that happen sometimes that we have no control over, when we can build the toolkit, the internal toolkit, to not allow those events to stain our psyche, to not create the physical imprints of pain, it can be some of the most preventative medicines out there.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they can't be bought, they're more internal, but, you know, to me, internal medicine is the most effective medicine. So those are just a few, you know, stories. We have hundreds more, that I'm happy to share with anybody who's interested, but yeah.
Fantastic.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Cappuccino, latte, Americano, flat white, macchiato.
Just imagine, for less than the price of a single cup of coffee out on the high street, you could enjoy an award-winning online magazine every month with up-to-the-minute information on health and healthy lifestyle. Sounds like a good trade-off? Check out Health Triangle Magazine on the UKHealthRadio.com website. Just sacrifice a single cup of coffee every month.
Let's all put health first.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Yeah, really interesting. And of course, you know, you're giving these remarkable stories of a recovery and things, physical recovery from situations where people are not supposed to recover from. And of course, that, as you say, is the sort of lead in, if you like, for people to attract people. Because that's the piece that has to be at the front of the book, in a way. But actually, of course, the other thing you describe, which is of people finding deep peace, enables them to be at peace with whatever happens, whether it's a remarkable recovery or not, which of course has value way beyond the physical.
Robin, I'd love to share a quick story with you.
Okay.
So there was a client who came through one of our programs almost a year and a half ago. Relatively young, she had a very aggressive form of ovarian cancer. And as we started taking her through the mapping and, you know, doing the deep excavation of her life, we discovered a lot of sexual trauma between the ages, in her teens. And that had then created an environment where she was attracting abusive partners her whole life. And it was a cycle that just never could be completed. She went through our program. She did some additional deep work, EMDR and some other deep. She joined a church group. Like, we really, like, a big part of what we do is not just like whatever's in the program, but whatever you have at home, we help you make the most of it, kind of thing.
Okay.
You know, after almost, I think, nine to 12 months, she was working with an integrative practitioner through Dr. Nasha's network. She was doing all the health things. She was addressing this piece. She went into remission. No evidence of disease. And not only was she doing that, she was living with a spark and a joy that she had never experienced.
Yeah.
A level of freedom from the pain, a level of joy. When she shifted internally, her relationship with her husband also shifted. He stopped being abusive. It's like everything shifted for her when she became more confident from the inside.
Mm-hmm.
And then she got a heart attack and died.
Wow.
And that story always touches me because she beat the cancer.
Yes.
She beat the cancer. She beat it. It was she as far as I'm concerned, she won that battle. She, like, the way she was living with the type of joy, with the type of zest, with the enthusiasm, like that inner freedom, she had it. But life had different plans.
This is it.
And so I cannot promise that our program will help you live forever. What I can promise is that it can help you get your life back.
Right. Yeah, I mean, we would say the same thing, is that we're not guaranteeing to extend anybody's life, but we can guarantee that if they embrace, you know, what we can offer, their life will be, you know, several 100% better, probably. So, yeah, that's the message. And what you just described there is really the jewel that is there for the taking in cancer. It's a rather horrid wrapping it comes in, but nonetheless, it is an absolute jewel. And I met so many people who say that cancer is the best thing that ever happened to them at this point that I know for sure that people can have that. It's available to everybody.
Yeah.
And I'd like that to be much better known because I don't think it's well enough understood.
No, it's, I mean, there's just so much conditioning around the word cancer, so much fear, so much disempowerment. I really wanted to speak to the disempowerment.
Yeah.
Right? Because like I've seen, you know, and you've likely seen as well, like a cancer patient who heals themselves and sees the light that cancer was for them, walks through the world with a level of purpose that I have yet to see in other populations. There's something about cancer, which is, you know, it can be one of the most challenging things that shows up for a human being in their life and their family. But the adversity that brings forward and the part of you that brings out, the character qualities, the grit, the determination, the vulnerability, the need to ask for help, all of these things that it opens up for you. On the other side, with enough time, you begin to see that who you become as a result of the choices you've had to make from getting a diagnosis is everything. And I've seen it now over and over and over again. You know, so many of our clients, they come through the program, they find their spark, and now they're helping other cancer patients.
Cool. Yeah.
They've become integrative coaches. They've become healers. They've become mentors. They've found their purpose. And, you know, that's one of the rarest things, I would say. You know, if you look at ChatGPT, I was reading something, a Harvard study on ChatGPT. The number one thing that people use ChatGPT for, do you know what it is, Robin?
No.
It's uncovering my purpose.
Really?
It's the number one thing that people have. And so for...
I wonder if it helps.
I don't know if it does or not. I don't know if it does or not. But what I do know is that there's no greater teacher than a diagnosis. There's nothing that brings people closer together than a diagnosis. And there's no better opportunity. And I say, I use that word with great care, because if you can choose to see this through that lens, which takes courage, which takes time, which takes, you know, needing to shift some beliefs around, but if you can get there, my gosh, the doors that open up for you are just so astounding. And I hope that for every single human being who is impacted by cancer, I really hope that they get there, because I see the gift that can be for so many humans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes the journey all worthwhile, eh?
Yeah.
Amazing. All right. Look, we've just got a few minutes left. I want to talk about something rather different.
Yeah.
And so this is not a criticism, but a comment. And it's in an area that I'd like to bring up often because I think it needs saying. So I've got a PDF flyer about the Liberate program. Nicely designed. Beautiful. Informational sheet, yeah? And there's not a single hint anywhere on it that it's got anything whatsoever to do with men. There aren't any men on it. And the quotes are from women. And it doesn't say the program is not for men, but I just have trouble imagining a man thinking you're speaking to him. Now, I completely understand from what I do that in the main, the whole world of integrative medicine is by women and for women, you know, in the main. And that's borne out by the sort of proportions who attend all of our things, who are listening to this program now, all of that. But as a man yourself, you can't have failed to notice the way that men suffer due to the societal idea of what it means to be a man, which includes not needing a program like yours.
Great question.
You want to say something about men?
Great question. Thank you for bringing that forward. 90%+ of the people who find us are women.
90+.
And this was before we created that web page.
Right.
And so what I can authentically say right now is that we do have men who go through our program. It's a small amount. And it is a man who is, you know, more comfortable speaking the language of emotions, or has been brought to his knees to a point where he's willing. But we haven't created a community container that is specifically designed for men yet. It is something that I think about a lot. I mean, I think about myself, my father, think about a lot of people in my life. I think about every single woman who comes through our program and their husbands, their fathers, you know, like we have men in our lives that need this care. I will say that our program, again, we have men right now. Actually, we just did a cohort call. Like, I think our last cohort actually had like 25% men.
That's good.
Getting better. So it was an increase.
Yeah.
It was an increase. And what I'm noticing is happening, the women are bringing their husbands in. And that's what's happening. But I hear what you're sharing, and it's something I've thought about deeply. And my hope is that we can serve more men so that I can tell more stories of men.
Yeah.
And authentically at this point, women are who's found us. So we've created the brand to speak to that.
Well, that is, you know, we're in this as well, of course. And so you can feel like you're in a sort of self-stoking cycle where you put out the content for the people who are interested. But all the time, the men are being bypassed. And of course, they're just people as well. And they need just as much,
of course,
care, love, attention, support as any woman does. They're just pretending they don't.
Well, that's what I was saying. I actually feel they need more because they're pretending they don't.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and so if you're a man watching this, I hope you'll lean in to a program like ours. Know that we have male practitioners as well as female practitioners. It's not just a fully female group. It's just the nature of this work, you know, talking about your emotions, being willing to look at emotions. We've attracted women. And I do appreciate this call out, Robin, because I want to, it's a focus of mine to be able to create offerings for as many different people as possible. And we're figuring out ways to do that, as a business that also, you know, just we're trying to do this the right way. Mm. And I'm not sure I know how yet, but we're figuring it out.
Same here. So, yeah, just good to have more people thinking that way as well, you know, because it really needs to happen. You know, a huge amount of suffering on the planet is caused by the fact that men repress so much stuff.
Well, I just want to also name, like, one of the things we're noticing. Okay, do you want to know the most out of hundreds of modalities we have used, seen? Do you want to know the most impactful modality that has transformed 100% of the people who have stepped through our doors?
Come on, let's have it.
It is feeling seen,
mm-hmm,
and heard by another human being who needs nothing from them. That's it.
I can believe that. That's powerful stuff. Yeah, absolutely.
And that's not something that you need to come through a program to get. And so if you're listening to this, and whether you sign up for our programs or not, it actually doesn't, the important piece is when you recognize that right there, if you have someone in your life that you can just reach out to and just say, hey, I need someone to just listen. Can you put 5 minutes on your phone? I just need a 5-minute timer. Put a 5-minute timer don't say anything. I don't need you to fix me. I don't need you to help me. I don't need you to give me advice. I just want you to listen, and I need somewhere to just let this out of me. If you just make a habit of doing that, you will get 90% of the benefit that somebody gets from going to the craziest of therapeutic programs. And, you know, there's deep work, but really the healing is in the, it's in the connection. It's in feeling seen. And so I really want to name that. So, you know, whether you're a man who likes to feel your feelings or not, like, you know, if you've got a guy, if you've got a best mate or a best friend or a somebody in your life that you can just ask that thing I just said, just, hey, can you just listen to me for 5 minutes? I got to get it out. That alone can make such a difference in your emotional health.
Fantastic. Well, great advice. Love it. And we're out of time. What a great conversation, Raj. Really enjoyed it. Thanks so much for coming on and sharing about it. Do you want to just tell people where they can find out about your program?
Yeah, you can head to liberate-health. That's the main homepage. That's where you'll find all of our offerings, our 12-week programs. We're constantly creating new offers and coming up with new ways for people to experience this work. So going to the website's the best place.
Great. And before we go, is the 8 just a catchy way of writing liberate, or is there something 8 about your business?
So when we came up with the name Liberate, it was meant to be liberating the, well, one, liberation is infinite. Healing has a goal, right? I want to heal this thing. Liberation is, you could be liberating yourself from fear, from worry, from anxiety, from things your whole life, and you're never finished. But there's an infinite nature to this journey of being alive. And then the 8 by itself, though, does stand for the infinite self.
Right, so, it's the infinite loop, right. Okay, got it.
So the infinite self is, there's 8 values: calm, compassion, connection, clarity, curiosity, courage, creativity, and confidence. And we're not helping you heal. We're helping you liberate these 8 qualities within yourself. And the byproduct of that is more vitality, health, and flourishing.
I like it. Thank you very much indeed, Raj.
You're very welcome, Robin.
It's been a great chat.
Yeah, it's great to meet you.
Bye-bye. Love that chat. The website for the Liberate program again is liberate, that's L-I-B-E-R, number 8, .health. And Raj also has his popular Stay Grounded podcast available via his website, rajjana.com. rajjana.com, or through leading podcast providers. Coming back to that sneak ad I popped in for our Yes to Life 2026 conferences, I'm super excited about these. We're working in 2026 with Dr. Sam Watts of Mind Body Medicine to develop the programs for our online conference on the 16th of May and our in-person London conference on the 26th of September. The title for both events, again, is Reclaiming Our True Nature: What Science is Telling Us About the Impact of Psychological, Emotional, and Spiritual Factors on Survivorship. And here's a short description of what you can expect, of course, from a top lineup of speakers. The 2026 conferences focus in on the deeper forces at work affecting our overall longevity and therefore of great importance to anyone faced with a diagnosis of cancer. It's now been recognised that although factors such as diet and exercise are crucial to any lifestyle recovery programme, the effect of these will be seriously undermined if issues such as chronic stress, unresolved trauma, poor social connections and loneliness, disconnection from nature and its rhythms, or fundamental lack of purpose are not addressed. Our speakers will explore the science behind these findings and the available resources and support to embrace the changes required to reclaim our true nature. Pre-booking will begin soon, so make sure you're signed up to our newsletter
The sign up is in the footer of every single page of our website, or you're following us on social media, so you're up to date with the latest information. Thanks so much for listening. I hope you can join me again next week for the next Yes to Life show here on UK Health Radio. Goodbye.